Hi, I'm Christy Hurt, the founder of The Collab. We are a collective of brand professionals sharing our career stories. Every week, we pair up two members and they interview each other, so you'll get to hear one episode this week and one next week. You can join us too. Sign up at jointhecollab.com and then tell your story.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lydia Finette, and I'm so excited to be doing an episode of Collab Career Stories. And this is an especially exciting episode because I have the privilege of interviewing my amazing sister-in-law, Caitlin Delaney, on this podcast. So hello, Caitlin, and welcome to the Collab Career Stories.
Hi, Lydia. How are you?
I'm good. It's so funny to see you on a screen as opposed to sort of sitting next to me. But I have so many questions about your career because I feel like I've known you for almost 20 years and have seen you along the way. But as I was reading through your bio, which I'm going to share with everyone, I was really blown away. I mean, obviously, I've always known that you're a marketing whiz. But for those of you who don't know Caitlin or haven't had the chance to meet her, she is an empowering executive product marketer and global beauty brand builder with successful experience leading product innovation and strategy, collaborating on effective go-to-market campaigns, and developing impactful 360 multi-channel marketing programs to accelerate growth across color and fragrance categories. So for those of us who are not marketers out there, that seems like a lot of things all packed into one. But I want to start at the beginning, Caitlin. Where did you grow up? And I'm asking this for everyone else because I'm married to your brother, so I know the answers to these questions. Where did you grow up and what did you want to be when you were little? I can't even imagine. So start me off at the beginning.
Well, let me start. I'll definitely will. And I share the sentiment with you, Lydia, that we're not sitting like chair by chair like we were like just a couple of weeks ago on holiday together. So we're coming right off the Christmas holidays, everybody. So it was wonderful to spend time with Lydia and her family. And just to give you a little insight, Lydia is my like mentor and guru. So it is so special to have you here interviewing me as well. So a big thank you to you. And yeah, I mean, I have always been a beauty enthusiast, I would have to say. Like, makeup was like my Bible when I was growing up. And I would like to say that I also didn't wear it all the time, as my mother would like to point out. I went to all girls high school in Connecticut. My makeup routine was really me putting on skin tint and a lip balm in the car getting off 95. So this was not like a wholly like application process, but it was really more about just love a product, color, texture, and like the ideation of like, you know, who we are when we put something like makeup on and what it really does to us, not really just from like a confidence standpoint, but just like from an expression standpoint. It makes us personal, like different people, and everything resonates differently on different people. I'd have to say, just like getting into marketing, you know, for me, I was like a lot of people graduating from college. I literally had no idea what I was going to do. And I will be very, very honest about that. I feel like I come across a lot of sharp, intellectual, like individuals these days who knew exactly what they wanted to do when they like graduated from college.
Or said they did.
And I'm like, you know what? I want to own the fact that I did not know what I wanted to do. So it's going to make me a little step apart. But so I ended up actually kind of working within the creative atmosphere. I did some internships like right out of college. My degree was in history and art history. So you guys can kind of tell where my mind was. I love chronological timelines. I love processes. I love diving back and then like seeing how we affect future forward. But I've also loved creativity, artistic inspiration, expression, color. So, you know, those kind of like led me into the beauty business. And my first job, I would say I was a merchandising assistant. Funnily enough, I am now consulting for that same organization.
Oh God, really full circle.
So it's actually hysterical, like fully full circle. And I'm just loving every minute of that piece, just seeing how a brand and a corporation has like really, you know, kind of evolved over the years.
Where was the first job? At Clarins. So that's where you started.
That's where I'm currently consulting right now. And so I started there in a merchandising capacity, you know, really like hands-on. Like I tell the story, like I was in conference rooms every other month stuffing file folders, like accordion file folders. This is like before like email just started. You know, the photocopier was our friend. Okay.
Faxes were relevant.
Exactly. And you literally had to staple and like pinch everything together and stuff it in this accordion based on the case line for like each, like basically like store that we were distributed in. And we would send those out every other month based on like new launches and whatnot. So it's kind of funny to like see where we've come now, you know, within every organization, you know, paper is now the enemy.
But also just one other thing that just to ask you this too, is it interesting to go back to that? Because I think a lot of times people who are just coming out of college don't understand that first job. Like that first job seems to be everyone's enemy these days. And, you know, I do a lot of interviewing of women who are in their 40s. And one thing that is universal is that those first jobs are your learning job. So did you feel like that when you were at Clarins? Do you remember anything that you look back and can carry through now?
100%. I mean, I have to say some of my like one or two of like biggest mentors were individuals I worked for at Clarins. And they really kind of helped me kind of identify with myself in terms of like what my brand was, what I wanted to stand for, and also like what I wanted to be known for. And just also like, you know, things like office protocol, when you walk into an office, like, how are you acting? How are you speaking? These are things that you don't really like pick up during college, let's be very honest. And I think that is super important, especially as you're honing those skills and growing your career, because it's also a lot of what you get, you know, you get hired for a role, but you know, the role you're hired for is really only like 40% of what you're doing in an office. Like there is like another 60% that is like an unspoken kind of responsibility that you really learn on the job. And those are skills that I really kind of honed in that first job, you know, and I think it was just like a sense of professionalism, you know, interaction, you know, kind of like the importance of team building.
Internal politics, probably.
And internal politics is huge. Like these are things that like no one really kind of says to you or pulls you aside about unless they really care about you in the end and want to see you grow your career, you know, in a direction that they feel is going to be beneficial to you. And so I still speak to one of my mentors actually from Clarins, and she's a really good friend of mine. And I've always had her on the back of my shoulder, I would have to say, in terms of how I've kind of done, as I've evolved through each of my next steps in different careers and different organizations, you know, like what would X say about this? And I think that's been really key.
So that mentor piece has been a huge piece for you and something to seek out.
Yeah. So I've been really excited about that. And it kind of brings me back to those memories also, like here at Clarins. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people nowadays, I think having a little bit of longevity at your first role is really key too, because you understand like processes, orientations, people, you know, a lot of individuals, you know, it's like people, you know, their type of, or their allegiance to corporations and roles are a little bit different nowadays. And I completely understand that. It's, you know, the times have changed and, you know, we want to experience being able to stay in one place though, and also understand to get a really great grounding is such an important factor to my career that I really encourage a lot of individuals around me to like, you know, maybe not pursue the same exact path, but, you know, to take note of, you know, what they're doing and how long they're doing it for.
So after that first job in Clarins, you have your two mentors for life. What was your next step? Where did you go next?
So I went on to YSL Beauté. So it's actually no longer a public company. So it was really a lot of the Gucci brands, which you might be in Kering brands, which you might be aware of. And they, over the next couple of years, were actually bought out by some larger corporations like L'Oreal, I think took a big bite, and a couple of other corporations. So they've been kind of like, you know, kind of worked through the different situation. But so I went to YSL, then I went on to L'Oreal, worked on Lancôme. And up to this point, I've been doing all fragrance marketing, so which was really exciting. I've always loved the fragrance piece. And then I decided to have a little bit of a creative bent. So like, you know, I think as we talk about a lot, like pivoting, transition is such a key piece of your career. How are you managing, you know, what you would like to do, but also taking into stock that, you know, you're shifting and growing as a person and also as a profession. So, you know, I had decided, you know, at that point around 2000 and like, I would say 6 or 7 to go back to school for interior design. So I did like that transition point, and I really kind of took a real dive into this creative piece, like, honing my skills, like from like a texture, a color standpoint, you know, residential setups. You know, I actually learned a lot of great skills like AutoCAD, like hand drawing and sketching. And from there, I ended up working within store design. So I started working for Van Cleef & Arpels. I did some great work within their store design team. And I started the process of coming back to product marketing and that piece. I realized I really missed that as a product marketer was my go-to. So I decided to really kind of like bring that piece back into the beauty business. But this career, like this piece of development from a creative standpoint, you know, really helped me hone some of my skills in terms of that creativity and concepting that I now are now super key to my current roles. And also the touch points that so many of our different types of visuals and creative and product, what they represent to the consumer. And that really kind of like epitomized from that design aspect of being able to say, hey, tactically, this is what your first touch point is when you're coming into a store or kind of holding a product and really, you know, giving everything you can creatively to what that is.
It's interesting because obviously everything that you're doing has something to do with the beautification of other things, whether it be spaces or, you know, someone's self-image when they look back in the mirror. But I think what is also really interesting, and I suspect that people who are along in their career journeys are thinking this too, it's amazing to watch this progression of how these things sort of compile over time. Because, you know, a career is really all of the elements coming together time and time again. And for you, that all kind of came together when you went to your next job after Van Cleef, right?
It really did. I think like that was kind of like the turning point for me as a marketer, because I think from up to that point in time, I've been so like focused. And I think at, you know, up to that, you know, naturally you're more at, you know, a different level. So you're thinking more granularly, more operationally, more process oriented. But I think I really had an aha moment on like, you know, what am I creating or what am I help creating and how is it going to impact the consumer? Like, what is its reason for being? You know, beauty is a big piece of it, the beautification and bringing that element in, but also, you know, other, you know, tons of other benefits and concerns and, you know, how does it make, you know, someone's better and why would they want to buy it, you know, in today's world? And I think that's like the crux of it for marketer is like, you know, what is this going to bring to the consumer and to the consumer space? You know, not just only from a white space, like, you know, kind of like taking on a new innovation or new type of concept or new like benefit, but it's like, what else does it bring, you know, from like an actual tactical, you know, touch standpoint as well. So those are like some things that I brought together after this. And it really was that aha moment because I was like, you know, I really do miss this. I miss the act of actually creating a like a product. And but now I really understand a little bit more fully, like, you know, what you need to do to bring that to life and to have it not just be a moment in time, but something that has the longevity, you know, and the authenticity to the brand that you're working for at that point in time, which is super key to being able to propel something like a new product into that next level of, you know, of consumer, you know, appetite.
So all of these years you were at Bobbi Brown, you had a variety of different things that you did there. I know you worked with travel retail. Can you tell us a little bit about going to Singapore for a spell? I think it's so fun when you get those global jobs and have the opportunity to try something new. So tell us about a fun story about something like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was like great. So I had a great opportunity, you know, during my time at Bobbi to do a summer rotation. And I did one in our travel retail team. I was working on the Bobbi Brown brand. So it was great because I knew the brand. I knew the product. Like I like literally had been there for like almost 6+ years at that point in time. So it was a kind of another way to see the brand from that retail level, which is really super important, you know, and I always kind of really encourage every product marketer, you know, like I'm like a global marketer. I love seeing things at like that global view and then like, you know, kind of funneling down into different ways into the different regions. But, you know, getting into that region, you get so much more granular. You're working with the retailers, you're working in different like opportunities commercially, like you're getting into the store, you're seeing how things are actually being actioned. And so I went over to Singapore for holiday and I had the opportunity to work from there for like, you know, about 2 or 3 days. And my boss at the time, he was doing store visits over there. And we were literally in Shanghai airport for about 10 hours.
Oh gosh. And not on a layover, like you went there by choice.
Every single storefront, you know, And it was really, you know, impactful. Like having been worked in a region, like in my past life, like I knew kind of like the ins and outs of it, like, and, you know, kind of like the boots on the ground, you know, mentality. But it was really great, A, you know, when you're working in more of that international scope, getting, you know, into the market, you're meeting everybody, which is super key, like building those relationships, seeing what the obstacles, the challenges, but also the opportunities that they're working with, you know, how you can liaison together tighter to really kind of bring forward stories, business, you know, results, you know, into the next like actionable level. And then also like seeing how things were being, you know, like perceived by the consumer, like, you know, like right there from the storefront. And I think that's really very important because a lot of times, you know, when we're working at the corporate level and you're not really, you know, and I think you probably see this, you know, from a lot of the individuals you've interviewed, you know, when you're not at that like base level, you kind of forget, like you kind of like, you start making things up in your head, like, and you don't see.
Well, you're in all the like the presentations, you're not like watching the person pick it up.
Exactly. Like, it's like, oh, you know, I love this presentation. Like, this is going to be perfect and it's going to be actionable in every single way. And like, can't wait to see those KPIs roll in. And, you know, they get it, you know, into a storefront, you know, over in, I'm going to make this up, like, in, you know, in Scotland. And they're like, you know, we don't have those elements. So we have to source something else. Like, you know, it's like, but it also teaches flexibility and resourcefulness, which I think are some really key attributes of, you know, every successful individual I've ever met. And something that I also count as, you know, attributes of myself that I've, you know, really been able to master, along with like that pivot piece. But you really have to kind of understand, and being there in the store level helped me see that, you know, even more. So when I went back to my global role, you know, a couple of months later, like I was able to say, hey, you know, this is what I saw. So you get to bring some more insight. So, you know, not only was the trip, you know, obviously super beneficial to me, but it helps you grow as a professional, like in so many different ways.
And I think that that's such a good point, because there's so many times in a over the course of a career where I think as someone who worked in a company for a long time, you really see the people who put their hands up and are like, I'll try it. You know, I'll do it. Let me try. And ultimately, those are the people who I always gravitated towards. I always promoted. I always wanted to push forward, because those are the people who are trying to learn more than what they were learning at the desk or from the 9 to 5, you know. And I truly believe that that's on all of us over the course of our career to find those paths and to make them for ourselves instead of looking for other people to do that for us.
I really agree with that. And I think that's something we've talked about a lot, like, you know, offline, is really, as you know, we as, you know, professionals, like, you know, finding your next place. And as you're navigating corporations, like, you know, how do you do that? So what's the right way to do it? Because you also want to be, you want to be respectful of your team, the people around you, but you also have to understand, like, you know, you're always going to be the biggest advocate of yourself. And also understanding, you know, maybe that project you're raising your hand for, maybe that's not the biggest and most grandiose, you know, project, but each of those things help you get to the next step. Whether it's like an A level or like a B level, like everything kind of, when you get to like the next level of your career, like all of them add up, and they really add up in a very big way. And that's what I've always like kind of counted on, like the different things I've raised my hand for or like advocated for, or, you know, in terms of like advocating for others, like every single piece helps us, you know, become and get to that next level.
So you recently left Bobbi Brown to sort of go out and try new things, and you are consulting for Clarins. So tell us a little bit about what you see for yourself in the next couple of years, because I definitely think an important part of a career is knowing where you're going, or at least thinking you're knowing where you're going, even if the world doesn't agree with you on that fact. But where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? Or what is your dream job after Clarins?
I would have to say, like, first of all, it's been really exciting for me. You know, I think, you know, to be very honest, it was very scary in the beginning. Like, you know, it makes you a little nervous after you've left a place you've been at for, you know, such a long time. But it's been a really great, it's been such a nice experience for me. Not only have I been able to, like, really look around and say, hey, like, what do I really want to do? Like, what was I inspired by, like, in my last couple, like, you know, three roles that really, like, got me going every morning? And like, who are the individuals I love to work with? And who are those individuals that really like or those, what are those brands that like excite me? You know, because I think, you know, a part of my next role is working for someplace that I love, like finding that place that you feel very strongly about, and also product, you know, authenticity, like that DNA resonating with you, especially as a marketer, is very key. Like if you don't like where you work, like I don't know how you're going to talk about like what you're hawking.
It's hard to market something that doesn't impress you.
Well, you can't really create something if you're not really happy there.
Yeah. You're like, I've created this and I hate it, but I guess I'll try to convince everyone to buy it now. Yeah. It's better to do something that you like. And it's been obviously a thread through your whole life. So it's lovely to know that you are in a field that is right for you and makes you feel good. And obviously it makes other people feel good too. I mean, I think one of the most important takeaways of our mother's generation is certainly about putting on lipstick and how it makes you feel better immediately. Whether or not you believe it, I don't think that you can deny putting on like some shade of lipstick does immediately make you feel better about everything. So I don't know. I don't agree with like putting on a full face of makeup, but for some reason, lipstick always helps.
You know, and I think to that point, like it's funny, like there are certain pieces that I love, you know, that I put on and I feel like automatically, like, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I feel like me, you know? And I think that brings me back to like what I do and why I do it. But yeah, I think it's really the place that I'm going to. And also like, I am very curious about doing a little bit more product development too. So really getting into like the attributes of the product, like textures, and working with the vendors and, you know, in-house. Like, I think that's really an exciting piece as well. And how to like bring those two pieces together. So we're seeing the future.
Well, I'm lucky in the fact that I get to watch this all from the sidelines as it continues to evolve. And I have no doubt that whoever lands you next is going to be a lucky company. So thank you for spending this time with me. It was really fun to interview you and ask you questions that I've had on my mind and have yet to ask you. But also a huge thank to Christy and the Colab Career Stories team, because this has obviously been a really fun way to spend the afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's been so great speaking to you, and hopefully I will see you again soon.
Thanks so much for being here for the Colab Career Stories podcast. Please follow us on social media at Join the Colab and sign up to become a member and share your story at jointhecolab.com.